Now, I'm so excited for today's On the Couch interview because it speaks to so many of the things that I hold dear. Travel, a love of the outdoors, curiosity about new places and new people, but also to kindness, to the appreciation of family, to spending quality time together. And perhaps you've come across our guests on Instagram already or caught the recent headlines about how they've just completed their quest to visit every single national park in the USA. If you haven't heard their story before, what makes it remarkable is not just where they went, but who they are. Brad Ryan is a 40-something-year-old vet from Ohio. His traveling companion was his grandmother, Joy, who is 93 years old. And it is such a great pleasure to welcome them both to the show this afternoon, or rather this morning in their time. Good morning to both of you, and thank you so much for getting up early to chat to us today. You're so welcome to Cape Talk.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thank you.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for joining us. Grandma Joy, I know you're from a small town in Ohio called Duncan Falls. Now, before Brad came to you with the idea of this road trip around the national parks, had you done much traveling at all?
No, not much. Not out from my front porch. I've been fishing, but that's just about it.
Okay, so very, very much your life centered around Duncan Falls itself. And tell us a little bit about your life there.
A little bit about your life in Duncan Falls.
Well, it's a close-knit community. We have all the way to two streetlights. Everybody helps each other. Mm-hmm. It's a nice, quiet community, and everybody tries to help each other as much as they can. It's a very nice place to live.
It sounds wonderful indeed. Now, Brad, the plan for this trip didn't just happen out of the blue over Thanksgiving dinner one year. You'd actually, I understand, been quite distant from your grandma for quite some time before you had the opportunity to reconnect with her. What was it that happened that made you decide you needed to change that and try and forge a closer relationship with her?
Well, we were very close when I was a kid, and after my parents' divorce, things got very volatile in our family. And mm-hmm. so we spent about a decade apart from each other, not speaking to one another. And then when I saw her at my sister's wedding in 2008, she was very, very ill. And I thought that she was probably going to die mm-hmm. shortly thereafter. And fortunately, while I was hiking the Appalachian Trail, which is a 2,200-mile trail yeah. from Georgia to Maine, she recovered. And then I reached out to her. We started hiking in our local state park. She told me that she wished that she had seen more of the great outdoors in her life. And I made sure that one day we were going to at least go see one mountain. But what happened on that first camping trip kind of changed the trajectory for the rest of our lives because she climbed a mountain with me. And then I got a little carried away.
To say the least. I mean, Brad, you are talking here about a woman of 85 years. And as you've just mentioned, right. she wasn't in the best of health at one time. A lot of people would have been really anxious about organizing even a small local trip, even that first hiking adventure you took together. What was it that made you decide that's not enough? We want more and we're going to do this on a really big scale.
Well, I thought that we were just going to drive around the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and she would just be a passive observer from the passenger seat. But what she did was help me put the tent together. She slept in a tent for the first time at age 85. And then the next day when the rain stopped, she came up with the idea to climb a mountain with me. And when I saw how much vitality she still had in her, that's when I started thinking about all the possibilities that still remained for her if I would just open the passenger seat again and invite her in.
So, Grandma Joy, when Brad came to you and said, I've got an idea, I think we need to keep on doing this and we're going to go and keep on doing it until we have visited every single last one of the American parks, did you have any hesitation at all or did you just say yes immediately?
Well, I thought he's crazy, but I thought, well, we'll just go ahead and give it a try. So that's what we did.
That's how all the best adventures start, with somebody saying, you know what, let's give it a try and see what happens. Now, Brad, what happened was you presented yourself with a list of 63 national parks on American territory. And as you said, you'd started with that first trip to the Great Smoky Mountains. To then say, okay, well, there are another 62 to tick off is no easy thing. I mean, it's a mammoth undertaking in terms of logistics. Tell us about how you did it. Was it a back-to-back trip from one park to another? Did you take breaks in between? How did you actually manage it?
Yeah, the first trip was in the fall of 2015, and we just finished our final park about 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So this has been a 7.5 year endeavor. Essentially, we did two month-long circuits around the United States, the lower 48, and then we just chipped away at the others whenever I had vacation days. So it hasn't been easy. There was a whole pandemic in between where we were uncertain if we would ever reach the finish line. Mm. But fortunately, we did.
And I mean, how do you fund something like that, Brad? I mean, do you, as you said, you were working in between, you're using up vacation time, but it's not a cheap exercise to travel not just your own country, but even outside your borders for the final park. How did you manage it?
Well, in the beginning, we were eating noodles and sleeping in a tent and really flying by with the bare minimum. About halfway through our journey, one morning I woke up and a photograph that I shared on our Instagram page at Grandma Joy's Road Trip was shared by Acadia National Park. Then it went to Reddit. And then overnight, it was a viral story. And we had corporate sponsors that, and a lot of people from the public that just wanted to see us through to the end.
That's amazing. And I mean, I've read, following your account on Instagram, there's so many stories of just moments of kindness from strangers and from ordinary people who'd followed your journey and, you know, offered a place to sleep or offered help getting to a particular destination. Brad, were you surprised by the sort of the public traction it began to develop?
Yeah, that was the most surprising part, because I knew that if we kept chipping away at this and if she stayed healthy and active, that we could make it to all the lower 48 United States national parks. But when you start looking at all these parks in Alaska, which have no roads to them, and Hawaii and a National Park of American Samoa, which is south of the equator, I really didn't know in my heart that we would ever be able to do that. So without the generosity of the public, we never would have been able to make the goal a complete journey. So
amazing.
We're very grateful for all the generosity we've received. We couldn't have done it without them.
Well, I just want to share with you a message that's just come through on our WhatsApp line from Natasha, who's listening to this interview, saying, "This conversation with Brad and Grandma Joy makes me miss my dad so much. I wish I'd traveled more with him. Their story again tells me that you have to grab the opportunities we have with our parents and grandparents. It is so heartwarming." Natasha, I couldn't agree with you more, and I'm sure there are lots of people feeling the same way listening to this. Grandma Joy, I mean, to arrive at park number 63, the National Park of American Samoa, all the way down in the South Pacific, to know that you'd not just said yes to Brad's suggestion, but seen it through right to the end. How did that feel? Take us back to that moment of setting foot in the final park.
Well, if I could have, I'd have jumped in the air and clicked my heels. But I was flabbergasted, and I was finally found the time to get to the end. And another way, it was kind of sad, but we had other things to look forward to. And when we got to Samoa, everybody was so happy for us, and everybody cheered and clapped, and it was a wonderful experience, and I'll never forget it.
It sounds like that was clearly one of the highlights, but Grandma Joy, what were some of your other favorite experiences or favorite parks along the road?
Well, I guess it was whitewater rafting. And for years, I wanted to see the bears at Katmai, and we got to see them do the fish. Mm. And it was, then of course, we got charged by a moose. So it's been kind of an exciting trip along the way, and I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Didn't see the moose coming, I have to confess. After all that excitement, what's it been like? I mean, it's only 2 weeks ago that you finished the journey, so I'm sure you're still sort of adjusting to life back at home. But Joy, what's it been like to settle back into Duncan Falls? Or have you been too busy with media interviews to even begin to settle back into normal life?
No, she's happy to get back to her couch for a few days. So if we didn't rest up, we wouldn't be able to do these big, ambitious treks. Are you happy to be home?
Yes, I had to recharge.
Now, Brad, tell me, what have you learned about your grandmother in this process of traveling together?
Well, I learned that we are still growing. We're still evolving. That age is not a limiting factor if you choose to show up for your life. She went from being afraid of water because she nearly drowned as a little girl, mm-hmm. to getting in an inflatable kayak in the Virgin Islands on very still water where she was a nervous wreck, to post-pandemic getting in a raft and going down Class 3 rapids in Wrangell St. Elias National Park in Alaska. So to see that evolution inspires me to continue to reach and push and confront my fears and keep living.
Well, my next question was going to be what you've learned about yourself. So clearly you have learned that there is capacity for curiosity and adventure in your life. But what else do you think you've come to realize about or know about yourself better through this process?
Well, I was always looking to do as many mountains as I could climb as fast as I could. I think a lot of people my age are very hyper-focused on their career and the rat race of life. How are we going to get a promotion? How are we going to get to the next tier in our career? And then when we get older, we realize that we were just rushing through our lives. I think that we have a lot of regrets. So being able to travel with her and see life through a different lens has allowed me to apply those lessons of slowing down, appreciating the details in nature, and also keeping your job in perspective. I think it's really important for everybody to have a purpose greater than their job in order to have a wholehearted, well-rounded life.
Oh, it's something I couldn't agree with more. Brad, before we talk about what happens next, I feel like I want to ask Joy the same question I just asked you. Joy, the experience of traveling together has obviously taught you a lot about seizing adventure and trying new things. How has it changed your relationship with your grandson? What has it meant to you to have this time on the road together?
Well, we've talked and discuss different things, and it's drawn us more closer together when we understand each other better.
And I believe, although you have ticked off park number 63, you're not quite done traveling yet. Brad, what's the plan from here? Joy is now 93. She has visited every single one of the parks that you set out to see. It sounds like you've both caught a bit of the wanderlust and a sense of adventure. Are you planning to keep on going?
Absolutely. You know, the end of one chapter is just the beginning of a new one. We aren't retired. And the woman who spent 85 years waiting to see her first mountain has now landed on a glacier in Denali National Park and seen the tallest peak in North America. In July, we're headed to Kenya and we'll be at Amboseli National Park. We'll be able to see Mount Kilimanjaro, as you know, the tallest peak in Africa. So we're going to just keep going. We hope to see the seven summits, the seven tallest peaks on the seven continents. And, you know, if there's any opportunity to get overseas, we're ready for a new era of international joy.
That's brilliant. Now, if you're going to be in Kenya, can we convince you to head a little bit further south and come to visit South Africa? Brad, I believe you have been here before.
Yeah, I'm a 2009 graduate of the University of Pretoria, and I've spent quite a bit of time down in the Drakensberg Mountains. I would love to take her there. Never made it to Cape Town, I'm ashamed to say. But I've seen a good amount of your country, and I feel like South Africa is really my home away from home. I can't wait to get back and have some Amarula.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I tell you what, when you make it here, please let us know. We'd love to get you into studio here at Cape Talk and carry on the conversation face to face, Brad. But in the meantime, I want to thank you and Joy both so much for making time to speak to us. I know it's early in the day over there. We really appreciate your carving out a space to chat to us and share this beautiful story with us. And I guess all we have to say is that we wish you further safe and happy travels together, and long may the adventure continue.
Thank you very much.
And bon voyage to you, Grandma Joy. And Brad, also lovely to have you with us. And I hope we'll get you back to South Africa and down to Cape Town soon. For those who would like to see the photographs and follow more of the adventure and take a look at where they've been and look at all the beautiful places they've experienced, you want to be on Instagram following an account called @GrandmaJoy'sRoadTrip. An absolute pleasure to have them with us on the show today. Thank you again to Brad Ryan and his Grandma Joy.